pray together. Father, we come before you just so grateful for the opportunity, Lord, to come to this place and for you, Lord, to minister life during this worship hour. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that, Father, that your work, your ministry work, your Spirit, Holy Spirit work would just continue throughout this time. And as we open the Word, that, God, that you'd speak to us. And that, God, that you'd continue to minister to us as only the Word can do. And that, God, that you'd bring to us such a great encouragement, Lord, such a great movement of your Word that might wash us, that might sanctify us, that might rejoice the heart or restore the soul or enlighten us today. Or just, Father, make us more wise like you. I ask, Father, that the seed that's planted today would be planted in fertile hearts that would produce fruit, some 30, some 60, some 80, some hundredfold. And that, Father, that we'd guard our hearts so that, Father, we might receive the Word and plant it that continues to give us life. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at 17 through 21. And I want to just say that New Year's Day is such a great day. I mean, we look forward to it. I mean, it's a great day. It holds promise to every one of us. But let's just be honest. The day has come and gone, and January 1st has somehow already lost its luster. Some of you are chuckling, right? I mean, it's already lost that gleam, right? It's already lost that luster. I mean, all these things that we wanted to see happen in the new year, we're going, oh, we're back at work. Oh, hum. But it happens. It happens all the time. It happens for us. And if it hadn't happened this fast, it usually happens in the next week. And so I want to think about this whole thought of newness. You know, it's interesting because January really is a good time to look back and to look forward. I mean, it really, really is. I think that's kind of in our heart. I think it's in our spirit. It's in our soul to do that. Matter of fact, it's real interesting. The Romans, that they had a god named Janus that some say that January was named after. And Janus was this god that they trusted was the god of new beginnings, the god of gates, the god of transitions. And history tells us that this god was actually two-faced because he can look at the same time to the past and then also look to the future. And I reading about that, this is really interesting. How did they come up with that? How did they come up with a god like that? And I just want you to know that I believe that when you're born, you have eternity in your heart, even though you're fallen. And there's something about us wanting something new in this life. Because we lost newness because of our sin at the garden a few thousand years ago. I mean, we lost it. And we are people who want and like new things, right? I mean, we do. We want it to be new. We like transitions. Well, some of us like it. Some of us like change. But we some of us don't. But just let's face it. We want our lives to be better. I mean, that's just a given. I mean, that's just a given. Everyone has that as an image bearer of God. I mean, we just want to be different. We want to be better. We want it new. And you know, I know that some of you have made these resolutions, and a lot of us have already messed up. But you know, I just think that this New Year's thing that we see every year, it just speaks to our heart, the longing of our hearts for something new, something fresh, and something alive. And you'll notice cultures of the world, they like to celebrate their New Year. I mean, Chinese, they go a whole month celebrating the New Year. I mean, it's the big thing in their culture. The New Year. And let me just tell you, a new year and January 1 and Janus cannot fulfill what only God can fulfill. Because I want to tell you, you look at God and His promises, it's always the promise to take away the old and make it new. That's His promise. It's what we're looking for. We're not looking for just new money or a new job or a new relationship or a new spouse, a new car, new toys. We're looking for the newness of God. That's what we're looking for. And the moment we begin to understand that, we begin to forsake the things of this life, the things of this world, in such a way that we say, that new thing cannot fulfill us. Have you ever gone to a dealership and bought a brand new car? Yeah, got in it. I'll never forget the first one that I bought. The guy said, congratulations. And I said, no, congratulations to you. I did. I said, congratulations to you. By the time I pay this off, I'm going to need a new one. Can you relate? And the moment you drive it off, it's not worth what it was 10 minutes ago. In other words, to them, it's no longer brand new. It's used, even though you went 5 miles. Oh, it smells new. And we like that smell, and it's a great smell. But I don't know about you. I got a 2012 Toyota over there that I've chased a lot of you in, looking for you, right? Down these county roads. And I just want to tell you, it's a wreck. And I just got 3 months to pay it off. It's no longer new. But we like new. And God knows we like new. And God promises new. God promises fresh. And so when you look at Scripture, you see this. You see it all throughout Scripture. Just look on, if you have your notes, the notes that you've gotten out in the foyer or just up on the screen, notice some of these passages that speak about newness. Isaiah 43:19, God says, behold, I'm going to do something new. Some of us quote that, right? We want to see something new. That appeals to us. Isaiah 66:22 says, behold, I'm going to create a new heaven, a new earth. Former things will no longer be remembered. Ezekiel 18:31 speaks of making yourself a new heart, a new spirit. Ezekiel 18:31 says, it speaks of God putting this new spirit within His people. Isaiah 62:2 says that speaks of God giving you a new name. Jeremiah 31:31, new days are coming with a new government. We like new, and so does God. But new is not just for January 1st. It's for today. You know, one of the most powerful scriptures in the Old Testament is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 9. I want you to turn there with me. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19. If you're new to your word, new to the Bible, just find the big book Jeremiah in the Old Testament and go right a few pages and you'll find Lamentations. Now, Lamentations is a book that doesn't sound too comforting, does it? I mean, when you lament about something, some bad things are happening. And some bad things are happening in Israel. Horrible things. Captivity, affliction, mocking. I mean, they're just being pressed on every side. And Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. I mean, he doesn't get anything good from this world on prophesying what he's having to prophesy because people don't like what he's preaching about. Feel uncomfortable with it. So he's called the weeping prophet. He's persecuted. And I want you to notice what he says. You know, look at verse 11. He has turned aside my ways and has torn me to pieces. He's made me desolate. He bent his bow, set me as a target for the arrow. Verse 13, he made the arrows of his quiver to enter into my inward parts. I've become a laughingstock to all people. They're mocking song all the day. He's filled me with bitterness. He's made me drunk with wormwood. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has made me cower in the dust. My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten what it means to be happy. And I say my strength has perished. And so has my hope from the Lord. That's not very pretty. And maybe some of you say, preacher, don't preach that to me. But how many of you have felt that in your life? How many of you have felt this down, this period in your life where you've just struggled with things? You've been there. So have I. But I want you to notice what he says. Remember my affliction, my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind. Therefore I have hope. Now watch this. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, and his compassions or his mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Listen to me. Three words here. New loving kindnesses and compassions. Three words here that are powerful. And I want you to notice, first of all, that you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until the next new year to find something new. Because God's loving kindness and God's mercies are new this morning. They're new right now. They're new every morning. You have an opportunity when you look at this passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, and then when Jesus comes and accomplishes this in your life, you have the opportunity to start over every day. Every day. Because his loving kindness and his compassions are new every single morning. You have this great opportunity. When I look at this passage, this great opportunity. Now let's look at these key words. Number one, new. What is new? Well, new as to form is recently made. It's fresh, recent, unused, unworn. It's like that new car. But it also means of substance, of a new kind. Unprecedented, novel, uncommon, unheard of. This newness is a new life every day that is just uncommon to the world. The world doesn't know it. The world doesn't hear it. But when you're in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, as we'll see in just a moment, that all old things have passed away and all things have become new. These things from God. New every morning. What is new every morning? Well, the first is loving kindness. This word means it's the mercy, it's the grace, it's the favor of God. It's the love of God, it's the kindness of God, it's the covenant of God. This kindness, this loving kindness that moves God to action. It moves God to a movement in your life for your good, for his glory, for his honor. He says this loving kindness, it is new every single morning for you. It's new. And then he says these mercies, these compassions are new every morning. Now, this word means compassion, or if you've got another translation, his mercies. This is God's tender love. Now, I'll tell you what this word means, literally. It means the womb of a woman. The womb of a woman. That's what he uses here. The womb of a woman. And it has the idea of a baby being in the womb. And it gives the thought and the idea of what a woman feels when she's carrying that baby. That there's this tenderness, there's this emotion, there's this something changing in my life, changing in my body as this baby in the womb is growing. I think it's a powerful, powerful metaphor that God's mercy is like a pregnant woman, a baby in the womb. In a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about the sanctity of life. And when you look at this Old Testament word and you see how many times it's spoken in the Old Testament about a womb and the tender mercies of God, How could we ever, 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 ever walk in a way that the sanctity of life doesn't matter because of somebody's right or inconvenience? The very thing that God describes as his compassion is a baby in the womb. And that's the compassion that's new every single morning. I know I'm a man. I know I've not experienced that. But I know what the Bible says. I know what Scripture says. And when I wake up in the morning, this mercy, this favor, this love of God, this kindness of God, this compassion, tender mercies of God, this tender thought of a baby in the womb is for you and for me every morning. That's what's new every day. You look at this passage of Scripture and you look at it in the context of just the wormwood and the bitterness. And you think about, he talks about this word of grace and mercy and compassion. That's Old Testament. But watch when Jesus comes. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Watch, full of grace, full of truth. Jesus came and they just marveled at the newness of this man. Mark 1:27, it says, what is this? A new teaching with authority? Hebrews 12:24, that Jesus brought a new and living way, which he inaugurated before his, for us through his flesh. Romans 6:4 says, we were raised to walk in newness of life. And Revelation 21:5 says, behold, I am making all things new. Listen. If God's grace and God's mercy and God's favor and God's covenant love and God's loving kindness and God's tender mercies is new every morning, imagine what can take place in your life every single day when you walk in that newness. Oh, listen, the potential of your day is awesome. You talk about new ideas that God would place in your heart that day. New directions for just that day. A new direction for the day. A new relationship that God wants to form or God wants to renew. A new relationship with him. A fresh relationship with him. Because that's what grace does. That's what mercy does. That's what the tender mercies of God does. It propels you to what's new. And it affects every area of your life. So you come to the end of a day and you're able to look at each other as a husband and wife. Hey, I feel newer today than I did today. Or I look at my job, or I look at my relationship with the people at my work, or I look at the relationship with my students if you're a teacher, or my teachers with if I'm a student, or I can just go on and on and on. Your clients, whatever. Oh, listen, if compassion and mercy, God's compassion and God's mercy and God's kindness is new every morning. Imagine what the rest would look like. All things new. All things new. And so when we get to this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you look at the new things of God, we find these incredible things that are new for you because of God's grace, because of God's favor, because of God's tender mercies. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. And all these things, what things? All these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We're begging you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God, because he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now let me say a couple things just right off on this passage. When he says, if you are in Christ, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. And the old things passed. Now, when he says the old things passed, he says it in the tense that's like final. The old things are done with. Finished. Complete. They're your past. Okay. Then he says, then the new things that have come is in a different tense. It means that this new thing has come and it's going to continue to have the same effect in your life day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. In other words, you can translate it like this. The new things have come. They have come. They are coming even now, and they will continue to come the rest of your life. That's every morning. That's every day. That's every moment. And I want to ask you, where are you right now at this moment? Because it's still 18 minutes until noon. And it's still morning. And these things are new right now, right here. The grace, the mercy, the life of God, everything that he is new. You don't have to wait till December 31st to get excited about something new that won't feel so new on the 8th of January. It's today, folks. And when we have that kind of perspective, when we have that kind of lens, we can see our day waking up and say that this day in Jesus can bring us anything, anything for the glory of God. And so I want to just say, listen, what's a good resolution? Believe this. Believe this. No, let me tell you something that you can believe in today. In other words, these new things have come. I want to believe it. The first is you have a new identity. The Bible says if you're in Christ, you have a new identity. You no longer identify with the old. You don't longer identify with your background. Although your background might be great, you identify with Christ in the kingdom of God. The Bible says that we are in Christ, and that Christ is in us. There's a great passage of scripture in Colossians chapter 1. It talks about the hope of glory. He says this. It's Christ in you. The anticipation of glory. It's a new identity. The identity, I identify with Christ. It means that I am his and he is mine. And I'm in him. And guess what? He's in me. You know, we always talk about as we're growing up that I want to cast Jesus into my heart. And that's great and that's good. And he's in me. He's in you. But what about us being in him? Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever thought about that before? That this relationship with Christ is so great, it's so new, it's so great, it's so wonderful, that I am in Christ as he is in me. It's a oneness piece. Jesus prayed it in the garden in John 17 when he said, oh God, make them one. I in them and they in me, just like you and I, oh Father, are in me and I'm in you. My challenge to you is to think on this and believe that I identify with Christ, that I'm no longer a slave to sin, that I'm no longer walking in guilt, that I'm no longer walking in shame. That's not my identity anymore. It's not a sinful, shameful identity. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm in him. It's a new identity. Second, it's a new nature. You have a new nature. He says, if anyone is in Christ, you've got this new identity. You believe this. And then he says, listen, it's a new nature. A new nature in Christ. I have a new identity. I want to believe it. I have a new nature. I want to walk in it. And there's a couple of passage scriptures I want to look at just really, really quick. So keep your place here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, okay? And I want to emphasize in this passage of scripture this whole thing of a new nature, okay? And I want to tell you, if you've never read this before, or if you've read it 100 times, I want to pray that it would become rhema to you right now, wherever you are in your life. Now, notice what he says. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now watch. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me tell you this. He's identifying sinful behavior and folks who walk in sinful behavior. It's how they're identified. And, you know, I look at this and I think, oh, my gosh, that's really bad. And it is bad. But I want you to notice what he says next. It's an awesome, awesome thing for God to say in the next verse. Verse 10, I've lost my place and I need to get back to it. Yeah. Yeah, I've got it in my notes, and I'm sorry. Such were some of you. Now watch this. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you. You're going to say, all of you are like this, but some of you are like this. This is who you were. This is how you live because of who you were. And it was a life that was absolutely, totally opposed from God and God's word and God and who God was and what God had for you as his image bearer. This is the good news of the gospel. When I come to Christ, I become in Christ, I have a new identity, and then I get a new nature. The old passes away and the new comes. And I want to tell you, when you get down to it, when you get down to this, you know, where you look at the person and say, I was a drunkard, I was an adulterer, I was a fornicator, I was this, I was that, but no more, because I was washed. And I was justified, and I was sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, can I get another amen? Can I get another amen? This is the good news of the gospel. A new nature, a new identity. I'm no longer identified that way, and I've got this new nature. It's the nature of Christ. And let me just say this. Let me just say it. It's really, really important to say it this way, is that when I get to come to Jesus, I'm a baby in Christ, but I don't want to stay a baby long. Do you want to stay a baby long? No, you don't want to stay a baby long. And although your babies are cute, you don't want to keep them in diapers the rest of their life. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Those are expensive. But we grow up in him. And it's a walk. It's a walk of becoming more and more like Jesus. You hear it from me all the time. You'll hear it from me all the time. Because that's what it is. And it's a walk of maturity. And I don't care. If you've entered into Christ, you have a new identity and you have a new nature. Quit identifying with the past by the enemy's word and by some lifestyle that you continue to go back to. Stop it by the power of Jesus. Because that's not you if you're in Jesus. And that's why I say, listen, this new identity, believe it. Believe that that's no longer me, that I'm this new person in Christ. Believe it and then walk in the new nature that he gives you. If you go to the other verse that I want to show you, it's Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. another great passage of scripture on this. Notice what he says. I'm going to read this whole passage. It's 10 to 14 because it has something to do with the next point. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Well, let's look at 9. Do not lie to one another. Now watch. Since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and then you've put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. What does he say here? So listen, you want this, you've got this new nature, but there's something in the scheme of it that you've got to walk in agreement with. You got to take that old thing off and you got to put the new one on. And he says it a couple of times, put on a heart of compassion, put on love, put on this new nature. How do you do that? By the grace and mercy of God. That's new every morning. It's new every morning. It's just like when you get up in the morning, and most of us, you know, you either got your shower last night, you get shower in the morning, you're all ready for work. What do? You get out of some clothes, and you put on new clothes or fresh clothes, and you get dressed for the day. That's just what most of us do. That's what just most of us here do. And it's the same thing spiritually. It's where you and I, every day, I'm going to say, I'm going to make sure I put off this old stuff so that I can put on this new stuff, this new clothes, this new way of living for the glory of God. So I have a new identity, and then I have a new nature, and I put on that new nature by the glory of God. And then the Bible says, I've got not only that, but I have a new slate. A new slate. You know what I'm talking about, a new slate, right? I mean, I know it's a grease board now, and they're no longer chalkboards and slates, right? But it's a new slate. You know what I'm talking about? A new slate. I love what he says. Look on the screen, Colossians 2:13. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions and having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the decrees against us, which was hostile toward us, and he has taken it out of the way. Watch, having nailed it to the cross. What did he do? He forgave our transgressions and canceled out the certificate of debt. He canceled it. You no longer owe him. You owe God nothing except your life. He did it all. Your sin was taken care of so that you might walk after him. And that's why I think it's so important to start this day off knowing that your sins have been dealt with. You're no longer seen as a sinner, but a in Christ believing saint of God. What do you do? What he says here also, he says, having nailed it to the cross. You know, one of the great things that Jesus said about following him, that you had to take up the cross and follow him. And I want to tell you, if you got that kind of picture in your day, it'll change your day. Because I want to tell you, the cross will never ally itself with your sin except to take it away. In other words, when I take up my cross, I'm moving away from something to something new and something fresh, never to return. Can you imagine bearing a cross, the cross of Jesus, and, oh, I think I'll go back to that lifestyle. I'm going to carry my cross back into the lifestyle. Oh, what a horrible picture. Horrible picture. No, I'm going to take my cross and I'm going to follow him. And I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to die to the sin. I'm going to die to the stuff. And I'm going to die to the junk. Because listen, I have a clean slate. I get to start each morning with this whole thought where God no longer counts my trespasses against me. Oh, listen, there's such power in the morning, such power in the day. So it's just not January that's the new start. It's every day. And if you'll notice, if you'll keep looking, and we'll close with this in Second Corinthians chapter five, you'll notice that, listen, that not only did he give us a new identity and a new nature and a clean and new start, but he gave us a new relationship. And the Bible says that he reconciled us to himself. He took the enmity and where we were separated from him, and he gave us this new relationship with him through Christ. And then he gave us a new purpose. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I want to say this. So you have a new identity. You have this great new nature. You've got this new slate. You've got a new relationship where God reconciled you. And then you've got a new purpose. And this is what he says. I'm going to say it in a Fritcher way. He made you one with God through Christ. And then he looked at you and said, okay, now go be a part of that the rest of your life. Part of what? Reconciling people to God. Every morning, it's new, a new nature, a new identity, a new slate, a new relationship, and a new purpose. Would you bow with me in prayer? And as I pray, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward for this morning offering. I am so pleased that I don't get to wait till next January to see something new come up in my life. If you've known me for any amount of time, if you've known me for any season, I mean, you know that I don't ever do that in January. I do that in October around my birthday. And I'm glad I don't have to wait to see something new come up in my life. And I just want you to know, church, that his mercies, his compassions are new every morning. Believe this in Christ. Believe this in Jesus. Walk it out and watch God move in your life. Father, I thank you for this offering. I thank you for this word. I ask God that it not return void, but accomplish what we need. I pray for those, Lord, who came to this altar, those who struggle and didn't earlier. I pray that the mercies of God would be new every morning. I pray, God, for a new start today. I pray for it today. And then when tomorrow is today, we start again. Lord, I want to thank you for this offering. I thank you for the great year we've had this year and just how folks have given. And I just ask that 2017 would be the same. I ask that you bless the gift, that you'd bless the giver. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.